Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and in this ASI cast, Graham Lovelace talks to Roberto Suarez-Candel, the head of the European Broadcasting Union's Media Intelligence Service, about the current role and importance of public service broadcasting. The wide-ranging interview also contains some fascinating insights into consumers' levels of trust in media. Graham.
The Geneva-headquartered EBU is the world's leading alliance of public service media organisations. Established in 1950, the EBU has 73 radio and TV broadcaster members across 56 countries, from Ireland in the west to Azerbaijan in the east. Talking to us live now from Geneva is Roberto Suarez-Candel. He's the head of the EBU's Media Intelligence Service. Roberto, welcome to this ASI cast.
Thank you very much for having me.
You spoke at the ASI European Conference in Venice on media transformation trends, Roberto. For the benefit of listeners who couldn't join us in November, I wonder if you could explain what the Media Intelligence Service does and a little bit about your role and background.
Yeah, sure. The Media Intelligence Service is the unit at the EBU responsible for all kind of market research. Nowadays, as everybody would agree, it's very important for our members for public service media to understand what's going in the market, not only in the national ones, but to have this international perspective. And that's where the EBU and the Media Intelligence Service plays a role. We collect all kind of data, and then we provide them with analysis reports, with forecasts, with the identification of trends. So it's a market research service tailored to their needs.
And you have a research and indeed academic background, is that right?
Yes, I come myself from academia. I got a PhD in media research and communications. And for almost 10 years, I was teaching and doing research in Spain, where I come from, but also in Sweden and then in Germany. And then I found the opportunity to join the EBU. And it has been now almost 4 years. It has been a fantastic experience because it's jumping from the academic world to the real world. And yes. Now I have the opportunity to work, as you mentioned before, with people from 56 different countries, which makes this experience fantastic and very, very exciting. Also complex sometimes.
Yes,
because you can imagine the diversity of situation, needs, problems that our members need to face, but it's really encouraging to see that sometimes our research have a very direct impact in the existence and development of these companies.
Now, in your ASI speech, Roberto, you stress the significant role of public service media in driving innovation and sustaining industries. Now, the contribution of public service media to society is a key focus of your research at MIS. Tell me about the framework that you published in December, looking at how the contribution of public service media might be assessed.
Well, what we have identified is that nowadays, the legitimacy, the role, and the remit of public service media across Europe is very much contested. And it's contested because the context has changed so much. It's so different from the scenario we had with public service media was created. So now people ask themselves, why do we need these companies if we have a full range offer in the internet? Why do we need to pay for the services? Why is that they do? People don't understand that. So we told our members, it's time to change your approach to accountability. You cannot keep reporting only to politicians in the way you're doing until now. You need to demonstrate the value you deliver to society. And to do so, what we are doing is encouraging them to assess their impact, to assess their impact on the economy, their impact on technology, on education, on culture, on democracy. And to do that, the key principle is that they need to put into practice new research and data collection methods. But at the same time, it's not only about that. This is a strategic change for these companies. We are asking them to wonder, to figure out what are the needs, the problems, the things that the needs that the market players and the citizens have. Because if the content and the service of our members, if they are not matching those needs, if they are not providing solutions to some extent to those worries, they're going to be irrelevant. So it's a really change of a real change of mindset and the way they think about what they need to do, the way they measure what they do, and how to report about this.
So one of the key things that they're reporting back to you is around funding and the funding of public service media, and in particular, license fee funding. Now, this is a big topic on the political agenda of many European countries right now. As you say, public service media is often accused of distorting broadcasting markets or indeed undermining commercial business models. What are you finding around the funding of public service media?
Well, first of all, we consider at the EBU that the license fee is for sure the best way of funding public service media because it provides the necessary stability. But we also say that depending on the national reality or the sources of income like state budgets or advertising are, of course, very fine too. When public service media are accused of distorting the market, which is an argument that we hear every day, it's important to have a look at the facts. And the facts that we have collected speak by themselves. If you consider, for example, the total revenue of the 63 organizations that we analyzed last year, these 63 organizations make a total revenue of 34 billion euros. This is not a bad amount. I must say also that during the last 5 years, that total income has decreased around 5% if you consider the effect of inflation.
Yep.
But then if you look at the revenues of the top 10 audiovisual conglomerates in Europe, so we are talking 63 public organizations versus the top 10 commercial broadcasting conglomerates, these top 10, they have a revenue of 52,000 billion versus 34. There is a gap of 52%. They
yes.
make 52% more money. So if we look at those facts, I don't know where we can justify the market distortion. Of course, many other people would say, well, but regulation is also providing you some benefits like mascarry obligations. Regulation also brings conditions that we need to comply with, like a certain amount of this content, of this genre, targeting certain audiences that are not necessarily economic profitable and therefore market players will not address, and they don't need to address because their objective is to make money, and that's very fine. But people tend to make this debate very simplistic, and we need to see the difference in income, but also the difference in obligations. So our conclusion is that there is no reason, there are no facts to prove that we are distorting the market.
And would you see the member organizations making the big noise about the point you've just made, or is that something that the EBU does on behalf of the organizations?
It depends very much on each national case. As I said before, our membership is very diverse. So we have organizations that are facing real problems, and they have the initiative, the resources, the strength to build the case by themselves. But also we can always help with our international perspective. That was the last year we had the honor of being invited to the commission organized by the House of Lords related to this topic. And I was invited to provide evidence on funding issues across Europe. And that was very positive for building the case for the BBC. But we also carry out advocacy activities at European level. And whenever the Commission or the European Parliament are discussing regulation or policies that might affect our companies and the funding of our members, then, of course, the EBU is in the best position to bring together all this data and all the strength of its members and have one-line action. It's proven to be more effective.
Your most recent reports, Roberto, look at radio and the rollout of digital audio broadcasting, but also I spotted the Trust in Media report on your website, which I found absolutely fascinating. That radio, it says, is the most trusted medium in Europe. So in 20 out of 33 countries that took part in that survey, that radio is the number one most trusted medium. TV is most trusted in southern Southeast Europe, except in Greece, it's the internet that's the most trusted medium. The only country where the internet was the most trusted medium. I wonder if that's got anything to do with the coverage of Grexit. So radio is doing very well, but overall trust in media is falling. Take us through the key findings of this report.
Yeah, well, we have done this report using the data provided by the Eurobarometer. And there, basically, citizens are asked to express whether they tend to trust or not to trust TV, radio, press, internet and social networks. And this is similar to funding, as we were talking before. Today we hear all the time, here and there, that, you know, people don't watch TV anymore, don't listen to radio, everybody is obtaining their information on Facebook, on Twitter, these are the new tools for democracy. Well, then when we ask the citizens, they say that they tend to trust radio the most, and then TV. And then, well, there are countries, as you mentioned, where is TV more trusted than radio. So the question is that one thing is the commercial messages that the market is creating, another thing, the reality of the use of media. Yeah. What we see here is that there is still a window of opportunity for broadcasting media, not only public ones, also commercial ones. I mean, this is not a fight between public and commercial. But there is a window of opportunity to make use of television and radio. And for us as public broadcasters, as our core role is to provide information, this has a very strong impact on trust. The situation in Greece, I mean, we all know what has happened in Greece, the economic crisis, the close down of the broadcaster in a sudden way. So it's kind of normal that the citizens actually started to use the internet and probably international sources to understand the situation their country was going through. What we also have found parallel to this study, we just published a study on the correlation between public service media and other well-being indicators, is that in countries where you have a strong public service, this means well-funded, and then as a result, obtaining good market share, the indexes for freedom of the press, the indexes for trusted media, the indexes for how likely people will follow or not extreme right ideas, they perform very well. So meaning that where we have a strong public service media, it's more likely to have a healthy society.
Yes, indeed. Roberto, we are out of time, I'm afraid, on this particular interview, but we have plenty of material for further interviews in the future for other ASI casts. Thank you very much indeed. That was Roberto Suarez-Candel, the head of the EBU's Media Intelligence Service. Thank you very much, Roberto.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much, Roberto.